Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. Have you heard how Pinterest can drive traffic to your website, but struggle with coming up with great-looking graphics for your pins? Are you confused about which tool to use to create graphics? Does opening Canva or Photoshop make you want to reach for your rounded safety scissors and paste instead? If that's you, well, then today's show is going to be perfect. But first, if you've heard me talk on my social media channels and even this podcast, you've heard me mention about how being part of a mastermind has completely changed my business. Not only holding me accountable and stretching me as a person, but some incredible doors and opportunities really have been opened. Well, I'm excited to announce that I'm partnering with Anthony Witt's Champion Mastermind to start a group of my own. Now, we're limiting it to just select people with a growth mindset, and not everyone will be accepted. There is an application process. If you're interested, head on over to manlypinteresttips.com/mastermind to apply. Like I said, there's only 8 spots left and they're filling up fast. Well, I'm excited to be able to share with you today my presentation from Social Media Marketing World 2017 entitled Building Better Pinterest Pin Images, Tools, Tips, and Hacks. In this presentation, I'll share some of my favorite secrets for creating eye-catching images. You'll discover shortcuts and tools that will help streamline your image creation process, as well as design tips that will take your images to the next level. If you'd like to have a copy of the slides that I created for this presentation, visit manlypinteresttips.com/SMMW17 to download those slides totally for free. That's manlypinteresttips.com/SMMW17. With that, let's jump right into my presentation for Social Media Marketing World, Building Better Pinterest Pin Images.
So please help me welcome Jeff C.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's awesome. Thank you guys for coming. I mean, it's awesome that you're all here. You know, a lot of times, when people come in, I know they're like, I did not know Jeff was part of Celine Johnson's Beachbody crew. I know, it's hard to believe, but I'm the before picture that they use. So somebody's got to do it. Yes, my name is Jeff C., and a lot of people ask me what I look like without my beard. And actually, I started this journey, and I didn't have a beard. In fact, some of my friends who knew, I call them my BBFs, the before beard friends, are here, Mike Alton and Peg Fitzpatrick and a bunch of other people. So this is what I look like, if I can figure out the clicker here. That is me before my beard. That's my lovely wife, Jody. This is an older picture. And my son, Avery, and Abby. And that's how we sit around and watch TV at home. Very natural pose. Yeah, very natural pose. So, as she mentioned earlier, that I started a little podcast called The Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Thank you. Awesome. You've heard of us. So, it started about 3 years ago, and I thought, you know, a good beard takes about a year to grow, so let me see if this thing works. If not, I can always shave it off. Well, it worked. Now, there's a little bit more gray. I probably need to update my logo, but... yeah, so it worked really well, and so that led to me being on Mike Stelzner's podcast, which led me to him asking me to speak at the summit, the virtual summit, and then that led to me being part of the social team here at Social Media Examiner, and I ran their Pinterest and their Instagram account, and also do a lot of their live video. So if you've watched some of the Friday shows, I'm usually in the background doing stuff, as well as we do for the society, which is really cool. If you're not part of the society, you need to be, where we do a Ask the Social Team. We do an office hours where you guys can ask us questions who run the Social Media Examiner social team, how that works. So that's a little bit about me. Today we're going to be talking about building a better pin, some tools tips and hacks. So we're going to cover all sorts of users today. We're going to be talking about some, you know, for beginners, some tips for advanced users, and even tips for people who wandered in because Guy Kawasaki's session was full. So we're going to cover all of that. But first, I want to tell you a story. Picture, if you will, the early 70s, the late 70s, the early 80s. I'm at my first school Christmas pageant that I can remember. You remember those? You stand on those risers, and your parents are over there in the audience wishing they could be somewhere else. You remember those? You get dressed up for those, and I think I had a white turtleneck on with dark navy blue corduroy. I looked snazzy. But the most important thing is during the presentation, I had the solo, and I have been practicing. I have been, you know, working on my projection, keeping my head up as I sing. I've even practiced in front of the mirror using my hands for dramatic effect to enhance the performance. I am ready. So the moment of truth has arrived, and I step up to the microphone, and I give the performance of the lifetime. I project. I keep my chin up. I'm using my hands dramatically, and I can tell that I have the audience right where I want them. I have my eyes squeezed shut, so I open them just to peer out, and I see them pointing and smiling. I am awesome. Well, the solo is over. I go back to my seat. And then we go. I go to my place in the risers. Then I go to the holding area where your parents come pick you up. And so I am so excited because I know my parents are going to come and tell me how great I was. And off in the distance, I see my mom running towards me. And I just know I'm going to get the hug of a lifetime. She rushes to me and says, "Look at your pants." And I look down in horror at the wardrobe malfunction that predates the famous Super Bowl fiasco. Apparently, when I had went to the bathroom before the performance, I had stuffed down my white turtleneck into my whitey tidies, which caused those whitey tidies to get stuck in my zipper, which set off a great contrast with my navy blue corduroy. So those people who were pointing and smiling were not enjoying my performance. They were laughing at that big ball of underwear sticking out of my pants. That, my friends, is not the impression that you want to make. And so the moral of the story is, your images always point back to you. So today we are going to be working on, you only have a few moments to capture your audience's attention when you are on social. And you've heard this, you know, your first impression, you have to make that first impression. It's very, very important. And that's what we're going to be talking about today because it really, really is important. And you don't want to be a big ball of underwear of embarrassment to your audience. So we're going to be talking about the tools and techniques today that we're going to be talking. And those tools used to be only available to like high-powered design firms, but now they're available to you and me. And it's pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome place to be. So the goal today is going to explore some ways not to be embarrassing. We're going to talk about some awesome ways to create some Pinterest graphics, but a lot of these techniques can be used for all social media. I'll show you even some examples of what I use for creating Instagram images. I know some of you who just went to Sue's workshop, and so this will be helpful for you as well. So we're going to be talking about all experience levels. So the goal today is to explore some tools, tips, and hacks to create some knockout Pinterest graphics. And at the end of the presentation, I'm actually going to show you how I created that graphic you see on your screen today. And believe me, it's really not that hard. Well, like I said, go some tips, some tools, and then finish up some of my favorite design hacks. And I just want you to know, like Rebecca, if you didn't see her session yesterday and Peg's session yesterday, you need to go watch that on the virtual ticket because really, really awesome content. But I'm not a classically trained designer either. I've just kind of hacked my way through these tools, which I'm going to share with you. And one of the things I struggled with that I had to hack was I stink at spelling. I mean, when I was a kid, when you made those Halloween bags that said trick or trout, I mean, I got a lot of Swedish fish that year, and I don't know why. But so I used to capitalize my title for my blog posts. I go there all the time. So that's your first little free hack. But that's one right there. So what makes a good Pinterest image? Well, most of these suggestions that I make for you today, like I said, are going to be applicable to all different platforms. So what do popular pins have in common? Well, there's a couple of things. One of the things, and Peg mentioned this yesterday, and I really like using this dimension for my Pinterest graphics, is 735 by 1102. Those taller graphics really, really do well on Pinterest. You can do longer ones, but sometimes you run into the risk of having them be cut off. So that's what I usually start with. And lo and behold, there's the same dimensions that Canva recommends. So if you want to make a quick Pinterest graphic, Canva is a great place to start. The other thing, and so I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit when I made this for an example. The problem with this is this font is really hard to read. It really doesn't have good contrast with the background. And if you're scrolling quickly through the Pinterest feed, you know, do you think this is something you'd want to click on and to learn more about? Probably not. So that's one of the things I see a lot of people, when they first get started on Pinterest, mess up with, is that they're picking these really squirrely fonts, and you'll see a lot of them, and sometimes they're effective. But most of the time, I would say they are not. Because here's the problem. When you look at those on a mobile device, and Vincent mentioned this in his talk earlier, he was saying 80% of all traffic comes from the mobile device. It's even, I've heard, higher than that, closer even to 90%, I've heard. It depends on the source. But if they're coming from your mobile device, that is even worse. So you want to make sure you test everything on your mobile device when you're creating graphics for Pinterest. When you're building a template for Pinterest, you want to make sure that it looks good on mobile devices. The other thing is, something may look really great on my iPhone 7 Plus, but if somebody is looking at it on an iPhone 4, it makes a difference as well. So you really want to make sure that you are testing those images on the mobile devices and do your best to optimize for every device. I mean, I know that's almost impossible, but you need to try your best to do that. So the other thing I think is very important, and we talked about what not to do for a clear text overlay, and we'll go into some steps later on how to do a good job with that. But I think your image needs to tell a story. I think a lot of the most popular pins on Pinterest use their images to tell a story. And so what do I mean by that? Well, here's a great example. Now, this is not the most attractive pin in the world, but this pin has been pinned over 22,000 times. And it does what it's supposed to do. Image before, carpet pretty. I mean, carpet dirty, image after, carpet pretty. So, and it tells you with a clear text overlay what that pin is about. And this carpet cleaning company reaped the benefits of this because this image tells a story and the text really stood out from the background. So here are some other examples of pins that work on Pinterest. And what do all these have in common? They all have a clear text overlay. They did that stinking script font in the middle, but it still worked really well. But the first one, how to pack a carry-on like a pro. They have two different images, and what's really cool is that first image has like a key. If you can't, it's those blue dots are actually 1, 2, 3, and 4, or 5, and then it shows the packed product at the bottom and a very clear text overlay in the middle. Well, that key, you don't see that key anywhere. What does that mean, those 1, 2, 3s? That's a great way to get people to click on your pin to go to the website to figure out what that is. So it's a little subtle call to action what people want to find out more about. So very, very good one. You know, Texas skillet. I'm from Texas, so yeah. I ate this for breakfast. The Texas skillet chocolate, it shows those great images. It shows what it is like. So it's very cool. And then the other one, how to do a 37-piece capsule wardrobe. That the how-to images and pins on Pinterest do great. They do really, really well. I don't know what a 37-piece capsule wardrobe is. I thought it was a pill I could take to have better fashion sense, but my wife said no. So anyway. Here's another example, and these are from my friends at Tailwind. I asked them to look in their data set and say, hey, let me give you some examples of some pins that have done really well. And this is from the food and drink category. And number one, this is the slow cooker broccoli cheese soup. But look at the title. Look how clear that is. Slow cooker broccoli and cheese soup, 15 minutes to prepare, serve 6. You can't get any clearer than that. I mean, so that is a really good example. And you see on the other side, that's the full pin. You've got the image of the prepared soup at the top and another shot of it at the bottom, but then in the middle you see what it's like before you start cooking. So that image tells a story and also a very, very clear text overlay. In the middle, and it's a little bit hard to read, but you'll see that that's the description that comes up under the pin. And it's a very clear description. It's not cut off. It tells exactly what it is. And this is a recipe-rich pin, so it shows the ingredients that are with the Pinterest image. So very, very well done pin. It had 348,000 repins. So yeah, that's a lot of traffic. So, and the other thing is, when you click over on that pin, this is part of their blog image. But immediately when you go there, it's using those images that were in that pin on the blog image. So immediately when you click there, it shows, hey, you're in the right spot. And they're reaping the benefits of people staying on their site, reading how to do the full recipe because you just got the ingredients, you don't know what to do with them. So another way to get people to come over to your site. So here's some more examples of pins that are a little bit longer than that 735, 1102 dimensions that we said. But you'll see, like that 5-minute cilantro jalapeno sauce recipe, it's showing how a progress of the final product is going. So you see the steps in there. And the same with the second one. And then those last two, the images are so good, they don't even need a text overlay. I mean, look at the meatball one. That's a spicy meatball! Okay, that was horrible. That was a horrible impression. I'm sorry. But it has over 884,000 repins. And so that resonated with the audience on Pinterest. Now, that being said, I'm all about, like what Vincent was talking about before, is testing things. I would go back and actually split test this and see if I did add a text overlay, if that makes any difference, or if that would actually maybe reinvigorate the pinning for that image and then get a little bit more life out of that particular article or recipe. So those are some ideas, because powerful images can equal powerful results. I mean, that's a lot of traffic for a meatball pin. So here's some examples of some businesses that have really killed it on Pinterest. The first one is a home chef based business, and they've used actually multiple images with multiple text overlays and combined them together to make a really effective pin. And the middle image with the credit card processor, I think it's called Need Solutions or something, but it shows money and it shows 0% interest, which everybody is interested in. So that, yeah, 0% interest is huge. So we want to make sure, you know, people are clicking on that to find out. And this last image, and this is one of my favorites, it's this rubber wooden floored thing, but they've got over 48,000 repins. And you know, some marketing guy was going, okay, I want you to describe this for you. And he was like, it's like that kindergarten flooring, but it's really bendy. And so this is a perfect example of an image worth 1,000 words. They don't need to say anything. It exactly shows what's going on there. So keep that in mind when you're creating your pins. Now, this is an example of a pin that you were like, I didn't think it would succeed on Pinterest, right? So essential oils, neti pot solution. How to make your own neti pot solution. How many people here know what a neti pot is? Raise your hand. How many people here have used a neti pot? Okay, everybody look at these people raising their hands. Do not shake their hand for the rest of the conference. They may have just gone up their room and used a neti pot, all right? Now, this, this is a tea kettle for hell. You don't want to drink out of this thing ever, all right? Never. This is what it does if you're not familiar with it. You pour it up your nose, and it runs through your nose and comes out the other side through your sinuses. Yes, this is health right here. Now, I have never looked this way when doing a neti pot. This guy is obviously high or disturbed, all right? So this is how I usually look when I do a neti pot. Yeah, so your allergies have to be so bad that you go, I would rather drown, you know, pretty much. It's actually one step below waterboarding. They're using it at Gitmo now. So anyway, those images are all from Pinterest. So don't tell me your product isn't exciting enough or too boring to be on Pinterest, because these have worked. So yeah, so go up in neti pot to your heart's content. So one of the biggest hacks you can have is finding great, a good place for design online. So design inspiration. And hear this, I said design inspiration, not copying. It's copying somebody's layout or design to a T is not cool. In fact, my friend Peg Fitzpatrick over there, when she first went and started doing her little pink logo circle, her little peg circle there, like overnight, all these different blogs and Instagram images started having this pink circle in the middle with their name. So don't do that. That's not cool. If you want to impress an influencer, that's really not the way to do it. So use different places for inspiration, but don't copy. Here's a list of the ones that I use for design inspiration, and we'll talk about a few of these real quick. Pinterest, of course, that's the one I go to at first, and my brand is kind of retro images, so that's the first place I look. So I just typed in retro images, and I get a great selection of pins to look at, not to copy, but to find maybe color ideas that I want to try, fonts, some ways pins are laid out. So I use Pinterest first, and it's kind of funny. You got to be careful because some weird things come up. In fact, this is one for retro images. Yeah, 1950s. Nothing says drink soft drinks like a baby with rotten teeth, right? Yeah. So you don't want to copy that, or you maybe run out of town. The other one is I use Instagram, and that has a lot of great inspiration on it. I actually go and search some hashtags, find some ideas with Instagram, and follow some people there. And by liking people's comments and making some connections there, I mean, it's amazing some of the connections you can make just by being on Instagram. Now, Google Images. So why do I have Google Images on there? Because we should all know that going and searching Google Images and then taking those images is wrong, and you should be flogged out in public if you do that, right? So don't use Google Images other than to get inspiration. And here's what I have done. Like, I went and I like this quote by Mark Twain. It said, "You can't depend on your eyes when your imagination is out of focus." I really like that. But I couldn't think of a good image for imagination. So, I didn't want the kid laying on the ground, you know, and thinking, over the light bulb that everybody does. I wanted to do something different. So I went to Google Images and searched for imagination, and a pink elephant came up. And I went, huh, okay. So I went to my stock photo site, and I searched elephant and imagination, and I was able to come up with an image like this. And so that worked for my brand. It really did. From that, going to Google Images and searching for inspiration, I was able to come up with this graphic from doing it that way. So when you have a hard time figuring out what you're going to do for a quote graphic, or your boss gives you something they want done, and you're like, I don't know what he's talking about, try using that phrase or whatever in Google Images and see what comes up. And that way you can start playing and searching for those actual images on your stock photo site, or take your photographer out to shoot those kind of images. So the rest of the resources I'll let you browse at your leisure. They're all good. I really, if you have a place where you really want to get started on design and trying to figure out how to do some good design, the design school at canva.com is really, really good. They have some really great stuff out there, how to pair fonts, how to, you know, lay out images. I mean, it's really, really good. So I would start there if you struggle. The other one I like to use a lot is the designtootsplus.com. They have some great Photoshop tutorials, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, how important Photoshop is. So, places I go to get my images. Unfortunately, I am not a very good photographer, but I think I am kind of a decent stock photographer. So, but picking out images can be a skill, and it's a skill you can learn. So please don't ever use stock photos like this. You know, this image says to me, it's like, "Hi, I'm Ted. I want to be your friend. Let me show you around the offices." No. Or this one. This is another one of my favorite. It's like, "Hi, let me look directly into your eyes while shaking another man's hand." Or the last one, "Hi, our company is proud to announce we can make and receive phone calls." Yeah, so these are so cliche. Adobe actually went and made t-shirts when they were launching their stock photography site, and they called, you know, what once was, and it was a great campaign. It was genius. So try to stay away from those kind of stock photography, unless you're really trying to, you know, be a parody or something like that. Well, that brings us to pay or not to pay. That is the question. So now Peg and Rebecca covered this a lot in their talks, but I'm going to touch on it briefly. I like to go to these places for my free stock photography to look at. I like Pexels.com, Unsplash.com, and Lieberstock.com, and that one allows you to search 47 free stock images sites at once. So it's a very, very cool way to search for your stock images. But here's the problem. I really like to go with paid images for myself and for my clients because I don't want something to be free and then not be free later and run into trouble. I would rather pay for it now and get the image and get the license to use it. So, and the other thing is a lot of those free sites get hit hard by all the other people on social media, and you're like, oh, I saw that image. I saw that guy holding the banana. That one's always there. And every slideshow, there's a dude holding that banana. I won't show it, but anyway. So I pay a little bit more to have my images stand out. My favorite site for paid images are these two, 123rf.com, which stands for 123royaltyfree.com, and my new favorite that my friend Elisa and Meredith told me about that I've been using now for a couple years is Deposit Photos. And the reason I like Deposit Photos, and you may want to run this, write this down, is every so often this site called AppSumo runs this special. And you can get for $39, you get 100 credits, and they're unlimited. They don't expire. You can use the big sizes, and it's awesome. So I always buy a bunch of packs of those for myself and my client. Unfortunately, they just did one, and it's over now at the beginning of this month. But they run it a couple times during the year. So if you want to sign up for my email newsletter, I always tell my people about that. And also, you can go to AppSumo and sign up, and they'll tell you when stuff is, too. But mine is better. So I use that all the time. There's the AppSumo login. But here's what deposit photos look like. And I wanted to show this. And the 123RF does this as well. But it has a thing called a light box or a display box at the bottom. And you can actually, a lot of times I'm looking stuff for clients. And I'll know that it's good for that client, but not this client. And it lets me to have these light box. And I have them broken down into client. Like I have one for Social Media Examiner. I have one for my podcast. I have one for other clients. And so I drag and drop those in there. So I'm trying to optimize the time. Because a lot of times you'll see, oh, that's a really great image. But Mike Stelzner would never let me use that, so I put that somewhere else. So that's a great way to kind of maximize your time on the site when you're searching. So the other thing I think we talked about stock images is that, you know, choosing the right images. What's the best way to choose the right image? I always try to get the biggest photo I possibly can because that way, and this is especially important for free sites, that you have options. So you can rotate things, crop them differently, you know, put the text over them different. In fact, all these images, if you'll notice, they have a great place to put some text overlay. So some tools for creating great images, and I'm going to blow past these really quick because other people, Donna Moritz, Peg, and Rebecca have talked about this, but the ones I really like are Canva, of course. Just try to make it look not like it's from Canva. You know, mix up some templates, mix up some fonts, but you know, you've seen them in the feed, you're like, oh, that's from Canva. Oh, that's from Canva. So try to mix it up and try to do your own. So PicMonkey is another great one. I really like it. They don't have as much, oh, there's applause for don't use Canva, okay. Nobody from Canva's in here, are they? Guys in the other session, so. PicMonkey is great. It has a lot of new features. If you haven't been there for a while, you need to check it out. The other one is Adobe Spark, and that's very, very cool. Peg mentioned in her talk because you can do animations, but you can only do the animations, I believe, on the desktop version. So, but it's very, very cool. Oh, on the app. Not on the desktop version, on the app. So if you watch Social Media Examiner's Instagram feed, we start out with a lot of these templates and modify them, and a lot of times we'll also use the animation for Social Media Examiner. Adobe, this is the big boy that everybody is scared of, but I tell you, if you like doing images, you've got to start thinking about using Adobe Photoshop. This is a program you can learn for the rest of your life, really. But you have to start somewhere. So start learning things, you know, do things slowly, you know, take your time, get in, the water's warm, I promise you. And so just start learning. And a lot of people open up Adobe and like, what the what? And like see all these things line up. And it's okay. When you learn, you start learning little bit of tools at one time and you just kind of move forward and use some of those free tutorials online because they can really walk you through stuff. That's what I did. I started like, how do I crop a photo? Okay, here's a tutorial that will walk me, you know, right through it. And so just start moving up. And it's one of those things you can use all your life, and it's very, very worth investing the time in. So we're going to get to some hacks for creating great images. And like I said, I'm going to have all different levels here. So if you are bored at the beginning, don't worry, we've got good stuff coming. So just as I'll run through this as fast as I can. If you find an easier way to do those hacks, that's fine. You know, these are hacks that you use for yourself. These are what I've found that work well for me. So if you have a takeaway or something that you get out of this, hopefully this will help. So we talked about the importance of you need to have clear text overlays on your pins. And for this one, come visit my super trendy lifestyle blog. We're going to try to make this a little bit easier to read using Canva. So the first thing is we want to fix all the fonts so it's more readable. So I just changed the font really easy in Canva since that's what it was created in. Well, then what I did is one of the easiest ways to make your text more readable is to blur the background image. So you click on your image, you'll see the ant tracks that go around it, and then you click on the filter tab. Now that filter tab can be your friend in Canva. You click advanced on the filter tab and it brings up this box where it has the brightness and contrast, and then you click on advanced options. Well, here in the advanced tab, you have the brightness and the blur. So this is where we'll be adjusting the blur in Canva, how light or dark it can be. So we're gonna bring down the brightness and we're gonna up the blur, and here we go. So it looks a little bit better, but I think we can do more. So let's add a drop shadow. Now, Canva doesn't have any quick drop shadow to add in their tool. So here's a quick hack. So what you do is you select the copy tab, and whoa, that copied all the text and it looks like you spent too much time last night at the Midway. And so we'll call this the beer goggles effect. But we don't like the beer goggles effect, so we're gonna change it, and we're going to change the text to black and then click on the arrange tab up there on the right. And we'll move that black text behind the yellow text. And so we fixed the beer goggles effect, and now it's some art that kind of comes in. And it depends on your background image and some other things, trying to get it the way you exactly want to. So use the arrow keys, and you want it to just peek out from the bottom left, let's say. And it takes a little bit of experimentation to get it just the way you want it. So there we go. So now it looks like it pops a little bit more. We've got a nice blurry background image, and it took hardly any time in Canva. So looking pretty good. So you may also want to play with the color at this time to see if a different color may work better without the drop shadow or not, and see which works better with your fonts or layouts, and Canva really makes it easy. But let's say for some reason you can't blur the photo. Your mother-in-law took the image and she's like, if you blur that photo, you're never coming back in this house again, which may be a good thing, but let's say for the sake of the family that we can't blur the photo. So we would still like to have that text overlay pop a little bit more. So we will go to Canva and click the left-hand sidebar, click on the elements, and then click on shapes. And then we'll click on the rounded rectangle. You can use any shape, but that's the one I just prefer. So you change the color of the rectangle, then send it behind the text overlay at the top with the arrange button. And then you click on the transparent button, which is kind of that little fadeaway thing right beside it. It looks like a little, it's like fading away. That's how it's like fading away. So there we go. So we move behind there and we drop the transparency down, and the text has really popped and it looks pretty good. So this is a great time also to experiment if there's any color combinations that might work better. Maybe pick up a color from the background to use it and change that transparent color at the back. So you can also do blurring and the drop shadow. It just depends on what works best for you. So this is my next hack, and I'm going to burn through these really quick because I know you guys are going to listen to it over and over on the virtual ticket and listen to it in your sleep and listen to the sound of my voice. So this is one of my favorite places, and my hacks, and it's actually a website. It's called Creative Market, and this is where you can buy Photoshop tutorials, you can buy font packs, you can buy all sorts of cool things. I love using templates. Anything that can save me time. You got the hardcore people going, oh, you're using templates. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go watch Game of Thrones. Anyway, so so it saves you time. And here's one of my favorite ones. They're a little bit more expensive, but they're called scene generators. And it's a Photoshop template, but it is very, very cool. All those elements are on layers. You can move them around. you can make multiple images. It's very, very cool. It's almost like the doll, the paper dolls I used to play, my sister used to play with when they were little. So yeah, it's very, very cool. It'll save you a bunch of time. And most of them come with different backgrounds, different layouts and stuff. You can get them for Christmas. You can get them for minimal. You can get them for, you know, flower. I mean, there's so many of them, and they really save you a bunch of time. Here's another one. This is a vintage one, and I added some cameras, and all that stuff is moving. You can move around. So it's very, very cool. The other one, this is one of my favorite ones that I use for Instagram, and also we talked about this graphic before. This is the original image from Deposit Photos, all right? So this is what happens when I add the text to it. You can't really see it. You know, I could make it black, but I have found that on my Instagram account, white text performs better. And that may be different for yours, but for mine, it does. So you can barely read it. So here's an easy hack. I apply an overlay. And this overlay is a pack that I bought from Creative Market of transparent overlays that will make my image look kind of vintage and worn. And so I've added that. One step, dropped it in there, resized it, boom, it's done. And so it looks better, but I'm still not there. So in the this is what I do so I don't, when I screw up, which happens a lot, I don't have to start from the beginning. I duplicate this layer of the image layer, and so I have a place to start over. Well, next I select the burn tool, and that's that little hand thing there in the corner. And it comes from an old photography thing when they did in the Lightroom where they would add more, they burn it with more light on the exposure, and then they would dodge it and lighten the image. But we're going to use the burn tool right here. And here is that burn tool, and you just paint it over the background of the image, and you can see on the first line it's already started to bring out that text background in a nice subtle way that I really, really like. And here's the entire thing that I've done with the dodge tool, I mean the burn tool at the background. And I also used it in the corners to have that vignette that I really like to use on my account. So you can not just use it on text, you can use it to burn different parts of the image. Here it is turned off. So that's what it looks with the text layer turned off. And you can see the burn tool applied to that background image, which is a really, really fast and easy hack once you guys start using Photoshop. And here's the finished product. So there's the original, and there is the finished product. It's a fast and easy way for your text to get to stand out if you're really struggling. So here's I've used that same, you can use it on a dark background too. All these images, I've used that same burn tool. And actually, the middle image where it says John Acuff for a quote, that wood at the bottom is not really on the wood. It's burnt with the burn tool. And it just made the author stick out a little bit more. But it's a very, very fast, easy hack to use. So really quick, here's, as I promised, how to make this image that I showed at the beginning of the presentation. And I actually do some creative cropping when I do it. And so I have an image for my blog post, my Instagram account, and also for Pinterest. And so with creative cropping, you can have all of those covered. So here's how I did it. I bought it from Creative Market. And all you do is they come with the fonts, you edit the text, and you're done. And so all I did was take the image from Deposit Photo, I cropped it the way I wanted it to look, and I cropped it down to my blog image dimensions, and I just copied and pasted that other Photoshop template into this, and I added a thing called a layer effect. And so I just went and clicked on overlay. That overlay was applied to that layer and it made it look like it was on the brick. And that's all it takes when you're working with Photoshop. So, and I just placed it where I wanted to go and I was done. And what I also did just to add some more realism is when I had it moved over on the bottom Instagram image where the boxing gloves hung down, I just erased it. So it looked like it was hanging over the image. And I did the same with the laces on the Pinterest image. I just erased with the eraser tool, the laces overlaying the background graphic. So it's that simple. So there's a bunch of different layer effects you can experiment with on Photoshop. So like I said, just try it. It will eventually save you a ton of time. Now it's always very sad to come to the end of our presentation, but thank you so much for you guys' attention. And I think we have time for a little some questions here at the end. So. Please come up to the microphone if you have any questions, comments, or threats. Talk to Mike. Sorry, I know it was overwhelming for everybody. So.
I have a question.
Yes.
So what frequency are you posting your awesome images at?
I do a lot for now. There's a difference between my personal account and what I do for Social Media Examiner. So Social Media Examiner, we have so much content, we're constantly rotating our blog images because we're coming out with two, sometimes three a day stuff that just really churns fast. For mine, I pin a lot of Mike stuff, I pin a lot of Lisa stuff, I pin a lot of Ian stuff, and I pin more. And I recommend this for people starting out Pinterest, is, unless you're like Social Media Examiner, a big brand, is to pin more of other people's stuff. I'm always thinking about my audience. I want to help them. I don't want to give them like cell phone statistics from 2003. That's not going to help my audience. I want to give them current stuff. So I know Ian's just pinned an article about live video. I want to share that because my audience will like that. I know Elisa's talking about promoted pins. I know my audience is on Pinterest, and I really want to follow, give her that information because I know that they'll like it. So I repin mine, but I repin everybody else's, and I also throw mine in. So mine don't go out as frequent, but when they do, people click on them because they don't feel like I'm spamming them. Does that make sense? So, and I use Tailwind to schedule that because I love Pinterest, but I can't be on it all day. So if you want a great scheduler, in fact, I will be passing out a free month of Tailwind if you guys want that at the end. So just, they'll be passing those cards out at the end. So if you'd like to try Tailwind, if you haven't yet, it's a great analytics tool, a great scheduler. You can do it with some other tools, but I just really like it. So did that answer your question?
Uh-huh. And how about infographics? What about frequency, or do you like doing those?
I love, and Pinterest loves infographics. So if you can make an infographic and do it right, and not, I tried some and they, blah, I didn't want to do it, so they didn't look good. But if you hire a designer or something, there's a skill in making infographics. There really is, and so you can make it with some free tools. Canva has some graphics that you can use, but so I would, if you can do infographics, I mean, pin them a lot, and also you can pin them to multiple boards. So I don't pin them just to my main board, like I have my podcasting board, but I also may have my Pinterest board, so I can pin an article about Pinterest over to both of those. And so it doesn't seem like I'm always constantly spamming people, but it's going to those people who may be just following that board. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone. One pin at a time.